Hey, grab your Bibles. We got a message that I'm going to, I've got it whittled down to 2 hours this morning. And so you guys buckle up. There's a lot of silence, so let me help our guests, our new people. One of the gifts you need when you come to Cornerstone is you need to know when to ignore me.
Amen.
It doesn't happen a lot, but there's a few times. And when I said I got it down to 2 hours, that was an opportunity to ignore what I said. So anyway, you guys are very impressed by that. So it's good having you this morning. We'll see you around town. But grab your Bibles. We are going to wrap up our series in David. We've been in David all summer. Okay, we did a quick couple weeks on King Saul, but we've been in a story about David, Shepherd King. This is actually part 7. We did a couple weeks, Ask Me Anythings. We did that the last 2 weeks. And then last week at our fifth Sunday, we finished that up after our time of eating. And so no more food. The rows are back. Okay. It is hardcore church from here on out until maybe the next fifth Sunday. We'll see what happens. But anyway, I do want to give you a little clarification. The school supplies that we're collecting for is for Jolly. I reached out to a few principals, and Jolly won the award of our generosity because they're the only ones that responded to me. So I whittled it down to one. But they did say in the past they had gotten a lot of school supplies from churches or other organizations, but the last few years it's really been dwindling, and so I was able to talk to Mr. Jacobs, and so we're gonna support them this year, so we're gonna go all in with Jolly. So there is a list of supplies. You can take that list, grab one of everything, or you can just bring pencil. I mean, whatever you guys want to do, let us know, and just bring it. And so I appreciate you guys doing that. But we're wrapping up our series today. But here's a question, okay, that I'm gonna ask you. All right, before we jump in, I want to make sure you're thinking, I want to make sure your brains are engaged. We are not afraid of brains, okay? We don't ask you to check your brains at the door. In fact, we encourage questions. And so here's a question this morning, all right? How many of you enjoy goodbyes? Anybody enjoy goodbyes?
It depends.
It depends on it depends on the person, right? That's right. Sometimes, yes. Right, but a lot of people dread goodbyes, right? Whether it's maybe you're moving, you're changing jobs. Obviously, if it's the death of a loved one or a friend, you know, we kind of dread that, right? I'm going to ask, how many remember? This would probably be not apply to anybody 35 and younger. Okay, so we're drawing a line here. All right, but how many remember on the phone with that first crush? You guys remember when phones used to be attached to the wall? Maybe even cell phones when people use them to call people. So I know I'm eliminating half the crowd. I'm acknowledging that, okay? So it's not like I don't know, all right? And you're on there, and you do the old, you say goodbye. No, you say goodbye. You, come on, don't act like you didn't do it, Mark, Sonny. I know you guys did. Come on, Mark, Julia. No, you say goodbye, right? You know, that's not the same as when you're texting. Oh, you stop texting. You know, or tick-gramming and face-talking or whatever the young people are doing, right? I mean, it's like, I got to wait on the video to come back, right? So goodbyes can be tough, but they can be very significant, right? And so we've looked at the life of David. We've seen the ups and downs of his life and decisions that he made. We see consequences of those decisions. But now he's getting ready to die, and he's with his son Solomon, who's going to be his heir. Okay, he's going to sit on the throne after dear old dad, and this is part of their goodbye. We're going to look at their goodbye today because final words carry great weight, right? Significance, you know, especially if you've lost somebody. Maybe you think about, man, what was our last conversation, good or bad? That can carry some weight, and so we're going to see that here with David. All right, and this is a short passage, and we're going to go through it and point out a couple things. All right, his entire sort of speech, like a true king, his entire speech contains some practical advice. The second half of what to do as the future king. But this first part is what we're going to look at, because it is really life advice. It has to do with his walk with the Lord, his relationship with the Lord. And so I'm going to look at it this morning. So here's what he said. This is in 1 Kings chapter 2, okay, starting at verse 1. It says, when the time drew near for David to die, he gave a charge to Solomon, his son. He said, I am about to go the way of all the earth, right? If you don't know what that means he's going to die, right? You guys with me? So he said, be strong, act like a man, and observe what the Lord your God requires. Walk in obedience to him, keep his decrees and commands, his laws, his regulations, as written in the law of Moses. Do this so that you may prosper in all you do and wherever you go, and that the Lord may keep his promise to me. If your descendants watch how they live and they walk faithfully before me with all their heart and soul, you will never fail to have a successor on the throne of Israel. And so here is King David's last words, okay? And I think this is kind of a fitting way to wrap up our series on David, looking at his life. okay? This shepherd king. And the first thing he tells his son is what? He says, you got to be strong. You guys are terribly excited about that. Thank you. That makes sense, right? He's a king. You don't usually hear advice to a king like, hey, be a weak king, right? That would not be good advice. He says, hey, my son, you've got to be strong. You got to be strong when you're king. Being king is not an easy job. You've got to be strong, right? As you can imagine, I've never been king before, okay? Maybe you have. I don't know. I don't have a personal experience with that. But being king requires you, right, to make the decisions, sometimes hard decisions. It requires you to make decisions to go into battle. And even at that time, the kings often were the ones to administer justice. We're not just a king. They were kind of the judge. Okay? And so this was an encouragement to Solomon. It's like, you've got to be strong. You're going to have to make tough decisions. You're going to have to stand on your own many times. You're going to have to lead the army into battle. Listen, leading's hard. Have you guys ever discovered that? Have you ever led anything and like, oh my goodness, I'm not prepared to lead? Right? Sometimes like, oh my goodness, leading's hard. Right? Because the buck stops with you. You're the one that makes decisions and you get all the heat. Right? And so this farewell in Scripture with David to Solomon mirrored other farewells. Scripture highlights several farewells. This one we're going to look at also in conjunction with this, Moses' farewell to Joshua. Joshua was getting ready to succeed Moses. And here's what Joshua was told, okay? So Moses is speaking. He's speaking to the Israelites first and then to Joshua. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 6 and 7. He says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. He's speaking of his enemies. Right? For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to them, to their ancestors, to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. Okay? So he's saying, you've got to be strong. This is another transition in leadership. This is another passing of the torch. Okay, David to Solomon, here is Moses to Joshua. He says, you've got to be strong. And we see these commands echoed all the way through the Old Testament, specifically of these commands, these encouragements to be strong, to be courageous. Right? And in the case of Moses and Joshua, Moses knew the battles that lay ahead. All right? He knew the battles that were to come. Joshua needed to be strong. He had to be courageous. It was going to require strength to fulfill the plans of God. And David knew this as well. And he lived it. Think about the times when David had to be strong, okay? Teenager, come out to face a giant, right? That required some strength, that required some courage, right? David lived many years in exile and on the run from King Saul. When he knew he was the successor, he had already been anointed king, but he had to wait several years for that to be fulfilled. He's on the run. He's experiencing persecution. He had battles with enemies as a member of the army, and then as king. Okay, he had his own sons rebel against him. He survived attempts to overthrow his power. David knew what it meant to lead, and he knew that leadership required him to be strong. He lived it. The Lord himself, speaking to Joshua, echoed the same thing that Moses said. Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, he said, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. And so Moses tells Joshua to be strong and courageous, and the Lord tells him the same thing. You've got to be strong and courageous, right? David faced giants. Joshua faced walled cities. He faced enemies. But David didn't just tell his son, hey, you got to be strong. Okay, what was the other thing he told him? The next thing he told him is you got to, number two, be obedient. Right? See, some of this is going to sound like very basic things, but sometimes we need to be reminded of very basic things because they are easy to forget. You got to be strong, son, but you've also got to be obedient. Let's go back to verse 3. It says, observe what the Lord your God requires, walk in obedience to him, and keep his decrees and commands, his laws and regulations as written in the law of Moses. Right? You've got to be obedient. David's telling his son Solomon, you've got to be obedient. Lord said the same thing to Joshua. Guys, I want you to see the pattern. I like to see patterns in Scripture. All right? That means they're not accidents. That means they're things that we should emphasize. That means they're things that we need to learn. We need to understand. Joshua chapter 1, verse 7. So be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law that my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you'll be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Right? So David was not just teaching Solomon something that was unique. It was not outlier. Okay? These were lessons that the people of God hopefully learned throughout the Old Testament. We see many times when they didn't learn it. We see the consequences when they didn't do what the Lord instructed them to do. But this was repeated throughout the history of Israel, and it's repeated through Scripture. And Jesus repeats this command to his followers, right? Yeah, like Jesus. Many times he's sweet and to the point, right? John chapter 14, verse 15, right? See what Jesus says. He said, "If you love me, keep my commands." I wonder what Jesus meant by that. That's pretty clear, right? If you love me, keep my commands. Keep in mind where this is happening in the Gospel of John, okay? This biography of Jesus. John is writing this, and at this point, Jesus is preparing his disciples for his departure. Okay? We forget sometimes that these are some of the last words of Jesus to his disciples because there's chapter 14, 15, 16, 17. There's a few chapters here. But man, they're sitting. This is some of the last words of Jesus to his disciples. Like, I want you to understand this. And he taught them a lot in those chapters. But one of them is, you've got to be obedient. If you love me, you're going to be obedient. If you love me, you're going to do what I say. He was very clear about it. Okay? There's no ambiguity at all, right? And this was part of his final teachings to his disciples. A few verses later, in verse 23, he says, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them, and we'll make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching." Listen, obedience to God and His Word is not just a command, but it is a reflection of our love for Him. It is not optional, church, right? This is not a multiple choice book, and many people live like it is. I saw an illustration with a youth pastor when I was volunteering with him, and I'm not going to do it here because some of you would leave the church because you're not ready for that yet. Started ripping pages out of a Bible, all right? He was trying to get our attention. And some of you would struggle with that because, listen, these words are holy. This is just leather and paper. Do you understand the difference? We don't worship the physical book, but we recognize the words as eternal truth. You guys understand that? Okay. Make sure we're on the same page. But made an illustration, starts ripping pages out because the point was, many times we live like that. I don't like what that says. I'm not going to live that way. And so then we end up with a Jesus or a God of our own making, but it's not a Jesus or God of Scripture. So we're called to be obedient to all of it, even the hard parts, right? Love your enemy. I never feel like that, right? I mean, they root for the Broncos. I'm never going to feel like that, right? I'm trying to work through that, but I just can't get there. Thank you. Sometimes I say stuff, see if you guys are listening. Right? So Scripture calls us to a life of obedience. Jesus calls us to a life of obedience. And there is no ambiguity. It's very clear. Right? And David wanted his son to understand that we are called to follow God all the way. Okay? We've got to be all in with him because he understood what laid on the other side of that. And think about David. Of all the people in the world, he understood what it meant to live obediently and he understood what it meant to rebel. Okay? Let me give you a definition of temptation. Temptation is when you have the power to do whatever you want and you can get away with it. Right? That's a pretty good definition of temptation. I mean, David was the king, right? We talked about this a few weeks back. Right? When he rebelled against God, he committed adultery with Bathsheba and he had a man murdered, right? If he wasn't king, he may not have tried that. So David is telling his son, you've got to be obedient. It wasn't just that he knew the stories from his fathers before that, his spiritual fathers, his ancestors of Israel. Okay? Is he lived it. He knew what was on the other side of disobedience. He knew what the results of disobedience were. He lost children because of that. Right? And David learned the hard way of the consequences of sin. But he knew the blessings that came with obedience, and he wanted Solomon to avoid the mistakes he made. He wanted Solomon to experience the blessings of obedience. And that's the third point here in this passage. You've got to be strong. You got to be obedient, and if you are, you'll be blessed. Right? You'll be strong, you'll be obedient, you'll be blessed. Look at this verse, back to verse 3 and 4. He says, do this so that you may prosper in all you do and wherever you go, and that the Lord may keep his promise to me. If your descendants watch how they live, and if they walk faithfully before me with all their heart, you will never fail to have a successor on the throne of Israel. So what is this part? David's reminding Solomon of the promise that was made to him as king, that if he and his sons walked faithfully before the Lord, David would never fail to have one of his descendants on the throne. This was a promise made in 2 Samuel 7 to David. And David is passing this along to Solomon, like, listen, this is what's going to happen. Right? This is what's going to happen if we walk in obedience to the Lord. He's going to keep his promise to us. All right? He's going to keep his promises to us. So here's the question. How are we blessed today? Right? We could be here all day talking about that, right? How are we blessed today? Those of you that gave $100, right? God's going to give you $1,000? I've never said that, right? Number one, that's not biblical. How will God bless us today? Here's an easy answer. However he wants. That might be financial, could be health, could be a lot of things. The blesser gets to decide how he's going to bless us. Right? And the reason Israel, when they followed the Lord, was so prosperous, okay, as prosperity is not just financial blessings. The reason they were so prosperous because they were surrounded by pagan nations and they were to be a light and example of what it meant to follow the one true God. That was the whole point of Israel's prosperity whenever the Lord blessed them. Because they were to be a light to the rest of the world. And so sometimes we mistakenly can take specific promises that were meant for Israel and apply it to us or our church. Right? And we've talked about it here before. It's been a while. I'm not trying to meddle. Maybe just a little bit. You know, but we love, the verse that says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, right? Plans not to harm you, but to prosper you, give you hope and a future. Right? And then we want to apply that selfishly to our lives when God didn't tell us that. He told Israel that, and he told Israel that that was in captivity because he's the one that sent him captivity, but he also told him it's only going to last for 70 years. God had a plan for what he was doing there. And we see prosper and we think, ching, right? That's our default to prosper, right? Woo! God's going to make it rain. That's the only way he can bless us, right? Listen, what we take out of that verse there, right, is that God doesn't forget his promises to his people. But sometimes your promise is going to look different than my promise is going to look different than somebody else's promise. God is faithful to his people. He's faithful to his promises. But he gets to choose how he blesses us. So if we are strong, if we are obedient, God will bless us. But it's up to the blesser to determine the blessing, right? I know how I want God to bless me. And you know what? If he blessed me how I wanted him to bless me, well, I'd probably be a punk, right? Spoiled rotten, right? Do you give your toddler everything they want? Oh, man, I hope not, because then I wouldn't want to be around your toddler, right? Yeah. Listen, our character doesn't grow when we get everything we want. We become spoiled, we become babies, and we have this attitude of entitlement, right? Scripture says that iron sharpens iron. It can't be fun for the iron, right? Every time I sharpen a mower blade or sharpen a knife, I think of that scripture, like, man, it can't be fun for this blade, because it's not, all right? David knew Solomon would enjoy God's blessings if he remained faithful. All right? And church, we are called to be faithful today. Go back to Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. It says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. And here's the kicker. You want to know the ultimate blessing? And church, if we could figure this out, we'd be a lot healthier and a lot more stable as people. The Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And if you think there's a blessing bigger than that, you're going to have a really hard time serving the Lord, and you're going to be all over the place. And frankly, you might be hard to be around. Well, Jason, you're the meanest person in Vermilion. Sorry, somebody's got to tell you. The biggest blessing we could ever receive is him. Amen. Right? Yep. Is him. He said, listen, if you're going to be strong, if you'll be courageous, if you'll be obedient, then I'm going to be with you wherever you go. That is the most consistent promise in the Bible. That's the universal promise from beginning to end, is a promise of relationship. And I know I've said it here a lot. It's just because some of you need to get it in your head. Well, what about all the other stuff? There are other promises, but it starts with this. Listen, our strength comes from knowing God is with us. It doesn't come when He gives us more stuff. And often when we get more stuff, we begin to forget that He is the reward. He is the blessing. Listen, we are His people. And the presence of God gives strength in time of trouble. It gives strength in times of uncertainty. And David knew that. He learned that. He learned that as a young shepherd boy when God supernaturally protected him. Okay? So I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up. We're going to close in just a minute. I got a few more verses I want to read, but listen, church. As a modern church of Jesus Christ, we're going to have to be strong and we're going to have to be courageous. You guys understand that? Culture has shifted so fast, we no longer have a favorable status with the majority of Americans. You guys understand that? Maybe we don't realize that. We're South Dakota. We're a pretty conservative state, right? Just because you're conservative doesn't mean you love Jesus, so don't get my words twisted. But it's going to take a church to be strong and be courageous and recognize that as long as we have Him, that's enough. It is going to require more courage for you to live for the Lord in the future than it does right now. And especially those of you that are the oldest in the room, you've seen it shift more than anybody. I can't believe what's happened in the last 20 years that I've been in ministry. But as it becomes more difficult to be the church of Jesus Christ as God intended, here's what's going to happen. If we remember that He's the blessing, and if we remember to be obedient to Him and walk faithfully with Him, there's actually a greater opportunity for our light to shine brighter. Okay? The church is often the strongest when it's persecuted. Doesn't mean I'm rooting for it, okay? But we have to recognize when we have everything our way, often the witness of the church suffers. Why? Because we're satisfied. I was talking to a missionary yesterday. Talk about the American church versus, and it's really the modern developed world. It's not just America. This is not a bash American church, but it's, even today, we have it so easy and we don't understand. There are more miracles happening around the world in places where the church is persecuted. Why? Because they have to have the power of God, right? Punching the clock on a Sunday, being satisfied doesn't cut it because it's a literal life and death thing for them. And it's not for us yet. We're to the place that it may cost somebody a job at some point, and it has. Being faithful to Jesus. But for the most part, we're still kind of okay, even though popular culture doesn't look at us the same way. But church, it requires courage, it requires strength to live for Jesus. The church is always the strongest the more countercultural we are. And we've always been countercultural, even if we haven't lived it out. But I'm going to read as we close, and we're going to sing one more song, and we're going to close the service with communion today. But I want to read some maybe familiar verses for many of you. This is from David. And I think we see his heart in these verses, and we see what he's been talking about. This is Psalm 23. If you have it, you can open your Bibles to it. Okay, it's just a handful of verses. Some of the first verses I memorized as a kid. Okay? David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod, Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Listen, we could do several weeks on this passage, but a couple things I want you to see. Remember, David's a shepherd king. He experienced God's power. He experienced God's deliverance as a teenager, even as a boy, shepherding sheep. And now he's telling Solomon, you got to be strong, you got to be courageous. Paints this picture of the Lord being the shepherd. He said he won't fear because God is with him. That's the blessing, church. And look at what he even says. He says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Look, he doesn't say that God gets rid of his enemies. He said, I'm going to have a feast even though I'm surrounded by enemies. God is going to take care of me. God is going to provide for me even if there's enemies all around me. Selfishly, I'd rather him get rid of the enemies. But God says, they're still there. The valley is still dark, but I'm going to be with you and I'm going to take care of you and I'm going to provide for you. And the last verse here, he says, surely I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And at that time in the story of Israel, in the story of David, that represented the presence of God. He wasn't talking about going to church. He's talking about being with the Lord and being in the Lord's presence. Because he recognized that God's presence was the blessing. So I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. We're going to sing a song before we go into a time of communion. But listen, I don't know where you're at this morning. If you need strength, you need courage this morning, I encourage you, while we're singing this song, man, call out to God. Okay, call out to him. If you want us to pray for you, listen, Amy and I will be up here just real quick, but if you're going to respond, you need to respond. Okay? Jake, I'm going to have Jake come over here if you wouldn't mind helping me. But if you need strength this morning, you need somebody to stand with you, church, we got to stop being embarrassed about where we're at because we all need Jesus. Even if we know him, we still need him. And at some point, we've got to believe that prayer is effective and prayer is powerful. We got to get over ourselves and we got to respond. So listen, we're going to sing this through. We're not going to dwell on it. We're not going to beg you. Listen, if you need someone to stand with you in prayer for whatever reason, could be about this, could be about anything else, we want to pray for you. If you're online, fill out a Connect card, send it in electronically. We'll be praying for you. So let's just go into this time of worship and response. But if you need prayer this morning, let us pray for you, okay?